Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you. I decided that this series is a series in Masecha Shabbos, not Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, we could talk about topics that come up in the Masecha Shabbos, even though they're not directly related to Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, tonight's topic relates to various issues that pertain to the destruction of food. We'll see that the Gemara and Shabbos, in five or six different contexts, I don't know how many we'll get through tonight, discusses this fascinating question. So we know, of course, that there's a Torah prohibition against Baal Tashchis. The Torah tells us in the first source that when you're besieging a city, you may not destroy its fruit trees in your effort to obtain wood. We're talking here even in a just battle, and I think perhaps that the reason that the Torah chooses to illustrate the concept of Baal Tashchis in the context of war is as follows. We'll see shortly that the Gemara and the Rambam, the Sefer Chinuch, apply Baal Tashchis to all wastefulness, unnecessary wastefulness. And if so, why does it give this specific example? And the answer is that even in a context of war, which is, in a sense, the ultimate exercise in wastefulness, and a time when people justify everything just to win, and we're talking here about a just war, even in a context of war, the Torah tells us we must be careful not to be needlessly wasteful, not to cut down fruit trees when we could cut down non-fruit-bearing trees. And certainly, in the rest of our lives, we have to be careful about wastefulness. At the very end of the sources, I don't know if you got to them, the Sefer Chinuch writes about how Hasidim are so much bothered when they see destructiveness. And Rishayim, the opposite. They're happy, they revel in destructiveness. But someone who's a chassid, someone who recognizes that everything that they're given is given to them by God to achieve a purpose and to serve a purpose and to do something good with it, so for them, wastefulness is something that's particularly painful. And this, of course, leads all Jewish mothers to say to their children when they don't finish the food on their plate, if you don't finish it, it's Baal Tashchis. So the first question I want to consider with you is that really true? Is it Baal Tashchis if I don't finish the food on my plate? So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there's one opinion in the Gemara that says, to use a modern analogy, we all know, you go to the supermarket and a loaf of white bread is 99 cents and a loaf of whole wheat bread is $2.99. So the Gemara says if you can eat, if you could eat white bread and you buy whole wheat bread, so that's Baal Tashchis, you're wasting your money, you're spending $2 extra on a loaf. So the Gemara responds, no, the opposite, Baal Tashchis de gufay adif. Better to waste my money than to waste my body. If the whole wheat bread is healthier, even though it costs more, it's a lot cheaper to just buy junk food. Fresh fruits and vegetables are more expensive, but that's not Baal Tashchis. Better to waste your money than to waste your body. And in fact, the Gemara also tells us stories about Amoraim. They let blood, they were weak, they were cold, it's dangerous to be cold after you let blood. They didn't have any wood for firewood, and they said, throw the furniture into the fire. So one of the Talmidim asked, this is the next source, he said, how could you do that? It's Baal Tashchis, you're throwing the sofa into the fire? And the response was the same, Baal Tashchis de gufa adif, better to destroy my furniture than to destroy my body. So we certainly don't apply Baal Tashchis, the prohibition of Baal Tashchis, if it's going to lead to the destruction of the body. Or put differently, Baal Tashchis is needless wastefulness, but if it's serving a purpose, then it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis. Maybe at the end of the Gemara, at the end of the shir, we'll get back to a Gemara that seems to say the opposite. It says, Chaviv tzadikim chavivin alehan mimonam yoser migufam. We'll see if we have a chance to return to that. So one way or the other, the Gemara says, if it's not needless wastefulness, it's not Baal Tashchis. So going back to the question, when somebody's mother says, finish the food on your plate or else it's Baal Tashchis, you could respond, Baal Tashchis de gufay adif. I don't know if it works with mothers or mothers-in-law, but the point is very simple. If I'm full, I've taken enough to eat, so to eat more is Baal Tashchis de gufay. It's not healthy to eat more. You're already full. You've already had enough to eat. So better to destroy the food than to destroy your body and eat more. Baal Tashchis would say, don't take more than you're going to eat. Don't fill up your plate too much. But sometimes we know we don't always other people fill our plates, and if someone else fills your plate and you're full. So you wouldn't employ the svara of Baal Tashchis to finish your plate. Now, of course, if you're saving room for dessert, I don't know if this applies. But at the very least, a person doesn't have to become a human garbage disposal so as not to violate Baal Tashchis. And the truth is, this is true with respect to all aspects of Baal Tashchis. The poet can point out that though we're not supposed to destroy a fruit tree, if by not destroying a fruit tree, that is going to lead to a greater level of wastefulness in construction, or ruining other trees, or causing my neighbor damage from the fruits or from the leaves or whatever it is, then Baal Tashchis doesn't apply, as the sources that you saw indicate. The Tartamima adds a very interesting application of this. He says, why is it that a person's even allowed to tear kriya al hames? So Bishlam, if you hold kriya as a mitzvah de'oraisa, so he could say the mitzvah, that's the view of the Ravid, the mitzvah de'oraisa of kriya overrides the prohibition against Baal Tashchis. But if you assume it's only midrabanan, how could they be misakein kriya? And he answers, because kriya serves a purpose. The Rambam, he quotes, understands that it calms you down, it's a cathartic experience, and therefore if tearing kriya is valuable, so then it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis. Tosos says a similar svara. They used to have a custom to burn some of the furniture, the chariots of a king after they died, so as to honor the king, to say that nobody could replace him, he's irreplaceable. Well, that's Baal Tashchis. And Tosfos says, since it's derech kavod, it's not Baal Tashchis. Since it's achieving a positive goal, my chavusa suggested maybe that's why it's okay to break a glass at the wedding, right? It's Baal Tashchis. The answer is that the goal of breaking a glass is to achieve a positive value, the value of remembering the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, not to be excessively joyous at a wedding, or inappropriately so, and therefore it serves a positive value. And perhaps an example of this that's coming up very soon is the custom of taking out the wine at the Seder. We take out a little bit of wine at each of the 10 plagues. So somebody who was at Rabbi Schechter's Seder told me that Rabbi Schechter, after he takes out the 10 drops of wine, he pours them back in. But if you don't do that, some people are very concerned about drinking Egyptian blood. So if we say that's a positive thing, so then it would be okay. It might relate to the spilling of the wine at Havdalah, though the Magen Avraham and Taz give slightly different answers. But we find many customs which involve some sort of destructiveness, and according to what we're saying, it might be okay. We'll skip the next sugya, though it's very interesting. I hope you had a chance to do it. And talk about the general topic of Ibud Ochlin, another sugya in Shabbos. So turn to page 2, right column. The Gemara in Shabbos Adaf Nun Amid Beis asks, "Mahu liftsoa zaysim b'Shabbos?" What does this mean? According to Rashi, it means taking olives and smashing them on rocks, and this sweetens them. The Gemara says on Shabbos, "V'chi b'chol miyatiru." You can't even do it during the week. Kasaver mishum hefsid ochlin. Why is it aser to do this during the week? Because of hefsid ochlin, you're destroying the food. Lema plige adishmuel. Damar Shmuel Osa Adam called Sarko Bepash. Shmuel says that you're allowed to use bread and certainly other foods to achieve certain usages with that food. The Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos said that he would use food to carry certain types of muksa seeds. Shmuel would put muksa seeds on his bread and thereby carry them. You're allowed to use food as a tool. So according to Shmuel, it should be okay lift so as asim. So the Gemara says, no, they're incomparable. Pas lo miyasa, hani miyaisi. When I use my bread as a tool, so it doesn't get wrecked in the process. But these get wrecked. I was at a wedding recently. They had a salad bowl made out of bread, something like that. So is that okay? So according to Shmuel, it would be okay, as long as it doesn't become mos. If you still eat the salad bowl made out of bread afterwards, so then it would be okay. But if you wreck if it's disgusting, where it gets full of salad dressing, nobody's going to eat it afterwards, then it's not okay. I looked around. Very few people ate their salad bowl. Most people ate their salad and they left over the salad bowl. Maybe that was because they were hoping for some better food later on. I don't know. But most of the salad bowls ended up in the trash. So that's the Gemara. Most Rishonim, including the Ritva here below, the Tosafot Shanim, reject Rashi's understanding. They say no. There would be no problem in terms of crushing olives to make them taste better, because when it comes to the preparation of food, even if you destroy food in the preparation of food, that would be okay. The Gemara objects to using olives as a means of cleaning your hands. And even though they become, and the reason is because if you use these olives to clean your hands and they become mous in the process, so that's prohibited because of ibud ochlim. So the question that great, exactly the question. What about shampoos or soaps? And you'll say maybe that's us or so. The Gemara talks about people doing sicha with oil. They used olive oil as lotion. The Gemara even talks about doing ziluf with yayin, sprinkling water on their floors to keep the dust down. Not water, wine. So the Achronim ask, how do we understand it? And there are a couple of answers to this question. The answer that the Magen Avraham proposes, which is, I have to skip a lot of these makoros, it's on page 3, right column, he writes that in the case of washing your hands with the olives, the Rif already points out that it's aser d'efshar litol beboris. You could use soap just as easily. So then, if you have, to take your example, if you have strawberry shampoo, I don't think the strawberry shampoo has any strawberries in it, but let's imagine it does, plus works just as well. So then the Rif says, if it's efshar beboris, then you shouldn't. But if this is the best shampoo, does a better job, the strawberries do something that the regular shampoo can't, so then it would be wrong. And that's what the Magen Avraham says, that it's usher if you destroy it in the process, and moreover, there is no alternative. The Mishnah Brura has a different answer. He rejects the Magen Avraham. According to the Magen Avraham, it's permissible if it's Litzorech Adam, and there is no other alternative. Now, a alternative that's not as good is considered no other alternative, as long as it's Litzorech Adam. The Mishnah Brura writes that it's okay as long as it's Derech B'nei Adam. As long as it's Derech B'nei Adam, apparently using the olives in this way is not Derech B'nei Adam, but if it's the Derech B'nei Adam to put olive oil on your skin, so then it's mutter. And when you look at many of the poskim, even though the Gemara phrases the prohibition as hefsid ochlin, they understand it more in terms of bizui ochlin. The way the Rambam phrases it is, ein mafsidin shar ochlin umashkin derech bizui u ve'ita. You don't want to show that we are mevaza, the food, the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And therefore, once it's derech b'nei Adam, the Mishnah Brura understands, it's the normal way of doing things. Everybody uses olive oil to moisten their skin, so then it's no longer derech bizayon uve'ita, and it's okay.
Would that explain why we can decorate our sukkahs?
So that would be a good example. First of all, we might, that would be a good example. As long as it's derech b'nei Adam to do so, then we can't. Here, it's not bal tashchis because it serves a positive value, like we said before, and it's not aser because of hefsid ochlin, because it's derech b'nei Adam. Or according to the Magen Avraham, would that be tzorech b'nei Adam? Interesting question. Okay, another issue that comes up is, figure out which way these pages go, is the following. One source, on page 4, the Gemara in Tainis records that Rav Huna would buy produce that wasn't sold at the shuk on Friday afternoon and throw it into the river. so as to make sure that the marketplace was always going to be well stocked on Friday. The vendors frequently had a lot of leftover goods they couldn't sell and then were wasted, so the marketplace would be desolate. People wouldn't bring enough food to sell, and for the takana of the community, he did this. The Gemara said, well, why didn't he give it to the poor people? Why didn't he give it to animals? Tries to figure out why he didn't do, you know, there seems to be a better use than throwing the produce into the river. The Gemara says there wasn't a suitable alternative. So many of the poskim say, you see from here, that if it's for a communal purpose as well, then even throwing the food into the river is something which is justified. One of the, another halacha that comes up relating to food, just skip to the Magen Avraham on source 7. The Magen Avraham writes, so this is a Gemara in Erevin, "Ksheroen ochlin munachin al haaretz aser lelech ulahanicham elatzarech lahagbiyam." You see food on the floor, you shouldn't just leave it on the floor, you should pick it up, as long as there's no issue of kishuf, as the Gemara in Erevin states. And this is especially true with bread, and especially true if the pieces of bread are larger than a kezias. I remember when I was young, I visited my grandfather in Eretz Yisrael. My grandfather was a European, and he always, you know, I saw him, you know, he didn't like throwing things out. So I was going on a walk with him in Netanya, and he started picking up pieces of bread from the floor, and he had a little bag that in his pocket he put them in. So I thought he was like bringing them home for supper. I said, "Zaidi, we don't need to pick up the bread from the floor." So he said, "Don't worry." So he was very zahir. He couldn't see this bread on the floor being trampled on, being stepped on. He picked it up. Next morning, I got up early. He used to wake up at 4 in the morning. I woke up early because I had jet lag. And I saw him taking the bread and breaking it into little pieces. What's this all about? So later on that morning, we went to shul. And he took all the bread that he collected the previous day, and he started putting it in little places for the fegelach, so the birds would have bread. And he even told me that rachamav akol masav, he makes big pieces of bread for the bigger birds and little pieces of bread for the little birds, so the big birds don't push out the little birds. Make sure everybody gets. So that's his halacha. The halacha is he had a sensitivity that I don't think many people in our generation have. He couldn't see bread on the floor in the street, and he picked it up. He wouldn't throw it out either. He gave it back to the birds. A beautiful thing, and that's what this Gemara is telling us. It's exactly like the Sefer HaChinuch writes over here, that Hasidim, my grandfather was a Hasid in the truest sense, they're tremendously bothered by wastefulness. There's an interesting question above, is there something special about bread? Do we have to be more zahir about bread than other foods? And this is in fact a Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara says that you can't throw bread. And the question is why. So there's two ways to read the Gemara. According to the way Rashi seems to read the Gemara, it's because it might get ruined. And therefore, you're not allowed to ruin food, waste food, as we said, and therefore you can't throw bread. The way the Rosh and Tosfos understand the Gemara is that that is true with other foods. Other foods, you could throw them if they're not going to get ruined. You can have an ufruf, throw the candies, because you know the kids will pick them up. But if they're going to get ruined, then you may not throw it. It's said that they used to also throw unwrapped foods for a chasen and kala, and it's okay to do that in the summer. They won't get wrecked. You do it in the winter, it falls in the mud, that's aser. But bread is wrong to throw, even if it's not going to get wrecked. We have a special appreciation for bread. It's the staff of life, and therefore, even if you're just throwing it down the table, that shouldn't be done. So it's a machlokas rishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins lahachmir, that when it comes to bread, you shouldn't throw it for any reasons. Have a good evening.